Among those who were unaware that a battle was going on was Don Carlos Buell. I didn't know really what was happening with his army. Didn't know that a general engagement was taking place until quite late in the afternoon. The fight seesawed back and forth. A series of disjointed federal attacks failed early on, and then a general Confederate attack that was launched about mid-afternoon began to gain ground, driving the Union slowly backward. Nightfall came without a really decisive result on the battlefield. But many of the Confederate soldiers who had finished the day with momentum on their side believed that not only had they had the better of the fighting on October 8th, but they really believed that they would be launching further assaults on the 9th and that they would perhaps win a more decisive victory when the next day's fighting began. They didn't reckon with Braxton Bragg's attitude about what had gone on. Bragg decided that the day had not gone well for his soldiers and began to worry about his exposed position deep in Kentucky, began to worry about how many Federals might be nearby, and worried as well about his supply lines. He didn't think that they were safe. He ruminated about these things on the night of the 8th, and he decided to retreat from the battlefield, to withdraw, reunite with Kirby Smith, which he did, and shortly thereafter, the Confederates withdrew from Kentucky. As I said earlier, Perryville was the largest battle fought in Kentucky during the war. There were about 4,200 Union casualties and about 3,400 Confederate casualties. In a strictly tactical sense, it would have to be called a stalemate. Neither army drove the other from the field. They pretty much fought each other to a standstill on October the 8th. But because Bragg abandoned the field and began his retreat first to rejoin Kirby Smith and then from Kentucky, I think that it has to be reckoned a Union victory. Now, this is typical of a pattern in Braxton Bragg's generalship. He'd actually had the better of the fighting on October 8th, but he let whatever advantage he had won that day slip away from him. We'll see this happen again and again. He's a general, as I said earlier, who can show an aggressive spirit, who will try to take the battle to his opponent, and who in some cases even wins quite striking tactical success. But then he never seems to know quite what to do with it. Perryville is a preview of what would happen with Braxton Bragg later. We'll see it again in the Battle of Murfreesboro, when he retreats from a battlefield that by any measure would have to be called a draw. We'll see it again at Chickamauga, when his troops win a striking tactical success during the fighting at that battle, and then Bragg seems to be frozen in indecision following the battle. Well, he does make a decision here. His decision is to leave Kentucky, and so the Confederates withdraw. Along with them go those wagons still filled with the muskets that they had hoped to put in the hands of Kentuckians. Bragg had not accomplished any of his long-range goals that he had set for himself in Kentucky. First is the matter of the guns in the wagons. The Kentuckians had not flocked to the Confederate colors. This came as a surprise to many in the South. Many in the South now couldn't look at Kentucky as a captive state anymore. They'd had their chance. Confederate armies had been there. Confederates willing to fight for the Kentuckians. The Kentuckians had not seemed willing to fight for themselves. Bragg also was not able to remain north long enough to influence the northern elections as he had hoped to do. He'd operated into about the middle part of October, but he was in retreat long before voters would go to the polls in the north in the November elections. He also didn't cause a reorientation of the strategic situation in Tennessee, really. He retreated into Tennessee. He didn't retreat all the way back down into Mississippi, but he had not seen the recapture of Nashville by the Confederates. He hadn't seen the recapture of Nashville by the Confederates. It remained in Union hands, and more federal troops would move back to Nashville very shortly. So Tennessee had not been liberated either. Moreover, to many Confederates, Bragg seemed to have relinquished the offensive too quickly after Perryville and then abandoned the Bluegrass State too precipitately. Overall, the operation did absolutely nothing to enhance Braxton Bragg's reputation. It's his first real field command, and he didn't do that well. Bragg's and Kirby Smith's retreat from Kentucky ended the western dimension of this great Confederate counteroffensive in the late summer and fall of 1862. What we'll do in our next lecture is turn to the eastern component of that counteroffensive and see what Robert E. Lee and the Army of Northern Virginia did in Maryland.